and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day
352.
But for Kim, 366. Because it was a leap year. How is everybody doing? I had a chat for 2 seconds and then it vanished, Mike.
Well, I've just gone in. Johnny's put hey. I've said hey, Johnny. Johnny said, well done, Kim. I'm thinking, where's Kim?
Kim's right at the top.
Not in mine, she isn't.
Kim was first in, I'm telling you.
Not in mine.
Well, we'll do a refresh.
She's now going to refresh.
You have to refresh at least 3 times, just in case.
Yeah.
And do an incantation with a frog.
And wave a chicken in the air.
Ah, Kim, winner, winner, chicken dinner. There you go, talking of which. Oh, it had to be Kim today. Anyway, hello, Kim.
Winner,
Jonathan.
Chicken dinner.
Hello, Paul. Hello, Tony. Hello, Renee. What else have we got in here? I think we're done then, aren't we? I've not missed anybody. I don't think I've missed anybody. Oh, Kim's got Notion questions. Sling them in there, Kim. Notion's actually behaved itself today, which is just as well, because I've been deep in Notion.
Unlike the bad gateway.
Oh, let's not talk about the bad gateway. Why are we paying the bill again?
I don't know.
Remind me.
Mm.
I wouldn't mind, but I got that mail yesterday. It said everything was hunky-dory and
everything's going to be all right.
Yeah, you got a year on that.
No. Right.
CQ, Deb, CQ. Get those Notion questions in there.
I'm going to play with the dog.
She's been very good, hasn't she?
Yes.
She's been good. As we say here, she's been good for too long. Which usually means imminently. Yes, she did. Yes, Daddy. Yes, I'm thinking about that.
Whilst I do the washing up.
I'm going to herd you, Father. Here we go. Let me out. Excellent. Off she toddles. So what have we all been up to? I've been trying to sort out a system in Notion. This system in Notion has been there for a while. And what I did was... in fact, oh dear. Are you all right, dear?
Yeah.
That clearly went down 2 stairs at once there. It's a system I've used since Evernote days. And I thought I'll port it across. And this system's been in Evernote and everywhere we've been, this system's been. Trello, Asana, Zenkit, you name it. So put it in Notion and... it works, give or take. But it's so fragmented because in Evernote, it had to be fragmented. And I'm pretty sure Notion can do better. So I built this system at Christmas that was like, OK, let's pull these together. But you know how often I say you can't union query in Notion. So if you have 2 tables and you've got 2 different structures, but it wouldn't matter if the structures were identical. You just have 2 tables and you have data in it and you would like 1 result set returning. You can't do that. So if you had work contacts and personal contacts, you can't make a query that gives you results from both tables. This is a big problem as far as I'm concerned. So I built this umbrella system. Oh, it was marvellous. And it would work technically, but on a practical level, there's too much manual updating. So I have rebuilt it. Poor Mike. He doesn't like change. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. I'm kind of halfway through the rebuild at the moment. I'm going to have to put more stuff in it to stress test it. At the moment, it was actually quite interesting how quickly. I do think of Notion as rapid prototyping. So it's amazing how quickly I managed to pull together what I needed. But it's got some rough edges and need to work on it. So that was my day. Oh, Kim's going back through the build with me. Are you using the engine room as the old core system from last year? In the demo thing, yeah, I do put all the databases in the engine room. So, yes. There is another way to do that in case you want to share the stuff, which is to put the database underneath. The only reason in the demo system that I've left the database underneath is so I can quickly get to it in the demo. But it doesn't matter where that database goes, as long as you're not actually trying to tinker with it. Because if you're trying to tinker with it, then the databases, the dashboards that you build would be difficult. So I think in the demo, I've left the underlying database at the bottom of the page, hidden in a toggle that says master databases. But ultimately, I would put that in the engine room. So if I do need to go find it, then they're all in the same place. That is what I would do with them. The only time you'll have a problem moving the master database is if you are sharing it with somebody and you move it into your private area, or it's in your private. Now, that would be the nightmare scenario because they will lose access to it. But Notion will tell you that. If you have it in your private area and you move it into a public area, obviously you're opening it up for other people to see it, but that's not as catastrophic. People could just view it when you don't want them to view it. So if there's just you in your system, it doesn't matter where that database is, but for organization's sake, I would put it in the engine room. Only because if I'm actually looking for the core underlying table, I prefer it to be in one place. And that has worked well for me, so that's what I do with it. Hello, Renee. Oh, no, I've already said hello, Renee. Hello, Alex. Hello, Anthony. Kim has all the days, journals, months, quarters, etc. in the core system. Can you bring them into the new engine room? If it's in the same account, no problem at all. Is it in the same account? I'd probably, once you get to the stage where you've got that many core databases, I'd probably have headings within, or toggles, within the engine room for all of those tables. Let me have a look at my engine room. I'll look at the shared engine room. Yes, it's a bit of a disaster, ours. There's stuff in there, but most of it is like, I'm working on this, I'm working on that. So most of it is things I'm working on. But ultimately, yeah, I would organise it in the engine room, but I would put everything in the engine room. So I might at the top of the engine room have like core system as a heading and then put each individual table underneath it. Yeah, mine is a bit of a mess at the moment because I'm in the middle of this rebuildy thing. But I did actually find that the table I was working on wasn't in the engine room, and I put it in the engine room deliberately. It just makes far more sense in there. So, yes, I would put that in there, but that's completely up to you. Is it just me? I've everything configured to be like the lower half of the engine room. Not quite sure what you mean by the lower half of the engine room. Unless you've got that as a page. My engine room is a blank page that's got a little battery icon and it says GT engine room. And then underneath that, there's databases. And I would click on those databases to actually access the database. Why have I got two of these? This is quite concerning. No, that's the original one, isn't it? That's like a calendar. Yes, by the look of it. The one I'm rebuilding. Oh, that's the one. In that case, that's got the wrong icon on it. So let's fix that before we go any further. Mine is just a list of databases, to be honest. I don't have anything. There isn't particularly an above and below the fold because it's a root level page. So there is no above the fold. Everything is just in that page. The do not touch the pain of death area. Ah, right. I have that. I split the page into two. So at the bottom, underneath probably a toggle, do not touch on pain of death, they are the core tables. What I did this year that was different than last year was I realised that those core tables, you may need to work at a level where you're working with everything in the table. So I decided in the engine room, I would put one page per database and I would build in there management views. But the reason that I don't do that in the core table is if one of those management views became so useful that I wanted to duplicate the views, you can't duplicate the views on the core table. That's why I put them, pain of death, don't touch it, because anything I build in there is locked in there. I cannot duplicate it. So that's why I do that. Do you want me to add that to show this week with the LMS? So, engine room. Actually show you how that is hanging together in mine. This is going to need a bit of a tidy up. But we can do that. We can do that. Yeah, all of my tables are in there. I actually do have two tables, actually just on the engine room page. One of them, it's Mike's. I can't say more than that. It's Mike's. It's actually a database in the middle of my engine room. So that's going to have to go. In fact, I think we can just bin that. All those things are quite old, at least a year old, so they can go. Right, I will show you my complete engine room so you can see everything, how it's all hanging together. Which means I'm going to need to do that as well. Right. So it's getting put on the board. Excellent. Right. Who else have we got with us and what are they up to? What mischief are you up to? Good grief, Jonathan. They get earlier every night. See you soon. Okay, Kim, it's down for Friday. Up to the eyeballs trying to sort things out with 10 live sessions in the next 4.5 weeks. It'll be fine. It'll all come together, won't it? Tell me it'll all come together. All together now. Have you noticed the lack of news from Apple at the minute? Do we think this is good? Do we think they're gearing up for something in 2 weeks? Can I also point out that 2 weeks today, we'll have been in there for a year. But today is Kim's anniversary. So we'll have to do the I do feel congratulations is a bit weird. But, you know, it's a lot better than this time last year when you were thinking, good grief, will I make it to this time next year? Yes, you did, Kim. And I hope you looked at the email. Oh, you always make it work. I believe in you. Thank you, Kim. I will make this work. It'll be fine. What I do when I'm testing something is I do build the core database, but it's too easy to get carried away and start putting things in there and then think, oh dear, I've built the views in there. And then you've got to do the work again. So what I tend to do is if I'm testing something and I can see here, I've got a database that I've just slung in the page and I know exactly what I was doing with it. I was testing it. I'm thinking now I might make some changes to that, but you know, oh, I'm getting carried away with myself. So I just leave it there. When I decide that, yes, I'm going to use that database, then I create a page and I put it underneath the pane of death, don't touch. Then I build an admin system for it. I mean, it is a little bit more work, but it's just more organized. But I do have that testing phase where it's just like, is this going to work or not? Basically. No, Kim hadn't seen the mail. You need to see the mail. Oh, I need to do one for Renee for the 24th, don't I? That's what I need to do. Oh, Renee's saving up for the Apple autonomous car. I'll probably be dead by then. Not that I'm planning on going anywhere. Obviously, you understand. I just think, like, you know, the Apple tags. And what was the other thing? Oh, the virtual reality glasses thing. They've been talked about for that long. You're talking like 8 years. That by the time the car comes out, I'll be too old to drive. It is how I'm thinking. But we'll see how that goes. I'm not at all sure about cars. I don't get giddy about cars, I'll be honest. I'm sure if I had like a swanky new car, I'm sure I'd be thinking, oh, this is fantastic. But, you know, given the current situation, where am I going in it? Plus the fact it's like, literally, where would I be going in it? I know we have like Catenian dues and stuff, or we do when we did, obviously. But I don't know. Life's changed. I wasn't giddy about cars to start with. But I can appreciate the value of a car and how nice it must be and whatever. I just personally think they are ludicrously priced, ludicrously expensive. And that's not really the way the world's going. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm sure it'll be very exciting. Can you imagine the Apple car and how it might handle on snow and ice? No, Kim. It's the short version of that. No. Probably like Torville and Dee. You know Apple. No, I just think with a car, it's There's lots of things that you do buy, like your phone, your iPads, your computers, anything that people buy that, you know, is like something that they enjoy. The thing with a car is, you know, you leave it outside and the birds leave little presents on it. And, you know, people can scratch it, steal it, damage it. It just doesn't interest me in that way at all. It's like a pile of money sat on my drive with bits of it flying off every day in the breeze until it's worth absolutely nothing. And most of the time, I'm not in it doing anything with it. So it just feels, that's why I don't like spending a lot of money on it. That's just me. You know, obviously when I first got a car, I really appreciated it. And without my car, which I didn't know at the time that I bought it, I wouldn't have been able to go to university. So I appreciated the functionality of my car, just a lot less the kind of metal and wheels and stuff. But that's just me. Would an Apple car have windows? No. No, no, Renee, it wouldn't. What do you need windows for? Just think about that. Seriously. Why are there windows in a car? So you can see out of it. Why do you need to see out of it? Because you're driving. But if this is an automated car, you don't need to see out of it. You could make do with monitors on the inside and cameras on the outside. And that way, the car itself would be safer because it wouldn't be surrounded by glass. Oh, you're going to have to completely rethink your definition of a car, because that's what Johnny would do. That's another thing that concerns me. You know, Johnny's not there anymore. And judging by some of the absolute garbage they've brought out, or you look at it and you think, what were they thinking? Like pink iMacs. You know, what were you thinking? I do worry about the design of it. Because as Steve Jobs always said, and Johnny seemed to agree with, design isn't just what it looks like, it's how it works. It's the whole thing. But we'll see, especially given that they're getting other car manufacturers involved. So it actually sounds more like an operating system for a car rather than the actual car. I know we've got CarPlay, but it's kind of beyond CarPlay, but not actually a physical car, because it would be ludicrously expensive. Who'd be able to afford it? So I don't think there's actually a need to have windows on the Apple car. Can you imagine a Windows car? Oh, electric cars don't handle well here in the snow. Do you know, Kim, it's the electrics on mine that have gone absolutely mad. Mine was probably ahead of its time for when it was new. It's got all electric doors and all that kind of thing. It doesn't have one of those things where an external remote where you press that and the doors open. But the doors, the windows, all of that are electric. That was what gave out that day I was taking my iMac in for repair and I ended up in the middle of an armed robbery. It was the electrics that failed. So the guy at the electrical place said to replace that's going to, you know, basically you might as well buy a new car, because the part itself is so expensive. He said, what I can do is like put a dirty hack in. I said, I like dirty hacks, do it. So he basically bypassed part of the electrical system and it worked fine. But now one of the windows won't wind up and down. The others are fine. Just the one won't go up and down. So it's the electrics that seem to fail to me. I mean, in a way, I look at it and I think, do you know what? It would be far easier if it had a winding handle. Do you remember the old manual winding handles? Because, you know, the worst case scenario was the handle fell off. But even then, you could probably stick a screwdriver in and wind the window up and down. But when the electrics have gone, so I'm not a great fan of everything being too automated. I would like a kind of fallback where in an emergency you can deal with it. And I can only imagine when it gets to like -6, trying to keep the battery charged. And electric's not cheap here. So I'm wondering what the impact on that would be. Because obviously our consumption of petrol this year, nothing. I haven't filled my car up. Still outside and it's still full. Mike did a calculation and I don't think he's taken his car. We've done the kind of, he went to Old Trafford, obviously, for Munich. He's taken the dog up to a different park in it a couple of times. But I don't think he's done above 100 miles in the last year. It really is just a waste of time. And when you think about what your insurance costs you, the fact you have to tax it to keep it on the road, you've got your MOTs to sort out, it's costing an absolute fortune. Each journey has probably cost about £200 this year. Now, I know it's cheaper to get a taxi, but, you know, COVID, who wants to do that? Mm. So it's got to be done anyway, hasn't it? We'll see. Manual handles are a grand idea. I mean, imagine that you've been in an accident, God forbid, and you need to get out of the car and you can't open the door, but you could have wound the window down, but mine's electric and it won't move. Yeah, safety feature. Other than that, you're probably relying on like some kind of small toffee hammer to break the glass. I know a lady who did that. She couldn't get out and she took her high heel off. And luckily it had a metal like sole bit on the heel and managed to crack the corner. Because, you know, you can hit it and these things are not meant to break. That's the whole point. But then that's not safe. Mike's had an issue for years with his seatbelt. You've never seen anything like Mike's seatbelt. It's amazing. It passes an MOT. It's got a mind of its own, Mike's seatbelt. It's on some kind of... You see, when they were simple, who remembers this long ago? When my dad had a car and I was a child, he would go mad. You'd get in your car and it wasn't... When I was very small, I think... Up to about age 15, 16, you didn't have to wear a seatbelt. It wasn't a legal requirement. Now it is. But back then it wasn't. But Dad always insisted that you did. And you'd get in the car and you'd reach back and you would take the clasp off a hook, pull it across yourself and then put it into the other bit. It didn't have a winder on it. And if you got out of the car and you didn't hang it back up on the hook and straighten it, oh, my dad would go mad. So I was very used to that. But now seatbelts have got this kind of automatic retraction thing, haven't they? Yeah, Mike's works when it feels like it. So I said to him, he said it's stuck. It's literally stuck. And it was stuck in a position that even the mechanic couldn't shift it. I don't know how something can be stuck to that degree. But he couldn't, there wasn't enough room to put it around him. So I said, buy an extension. And that's what we had to do because we said to the mechanic, well, can you just replace it? You know, we don't mind paying for a new one. He said, you will when you hear how much it is. They wanted £1,400 to replace the mechanism. I said, you must be kidding. So I said, well, there are extensions and they're used for people who are like either pregnant or got some kind of disability where they need it extending. And they do shortish ones of about 8 to 10 inches and longer ones of about 2 to 2.5 foot. So we just got one of those and rebuilt it ourselves. But that's when they've gone too far. How can a mechanism be that bad that even the engineer can't do anything with it? You'd have to strip it out. And the reason it was so expensive was you'd have to strip the entire car down to do it. He said, oh, you'd have to take out the front seat, possibly the back seat. You'd have to take out all the carpeting, all of the sort of fabric over it. He said, you know, that's the issue. He said, so that 1,004 was the item, the replacement belt. He said, but then there'd be labour on top of that. He said, it'd probably take us 3 days. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I know, you see, Kim is so organised. I've got a plastic windscreen, if that's any use, Kim. But a hammer, I should put a hammer in there. I should have something like a nail that's really sharp and then I can use a hammer on it. But yeah, you absolutely need it because these things are death traps these days. It's like that episode of NCIS, isn't it? With Otto, the car that nearly saw Abby off. I do love that episode. It's one of my favourites. It's one of my favourites because that's the one where she says permission to hug. It's the one where they've had their diversity training and they're not allowed to hug and stuff. Oh, I just love that episode. Oh, good grief, Alex, I do. Indicators that popped out the side of the car and got stuck. Oh, Kim's seatbelt just got recalled. That does worry you again, wouldn't it? Oh. Do you know what I think these days? which I do find absolutely fascinating. I have only twice in about the last 20 years seen someone doing hand signals. So clearly the electrics had gone. Now, the electrics in my car work well, like I say, when they feel like it. Mike's had one where it ate bulbs. Honestly, every 3 months he'd need new bulbs. I've had cars where I've never needed a bulb in 15 years, but Mike's, every few months it needs another bulb. So I said to Mike, you do know the hand signals, don't you? He said, yes. You know, from the, we have the green cross code thing here, don't we? And if you're turning, now bearing in mind, of course, we're driving, our steering wheel is on the right. If you are turning right, you stick your hand out of the window. And that indicates to people you are turning right. Obviously, if you're driving and you don't have a passenger, you can't stick your hand out of the left-hand window. So how do you indicate you are turning left? And this was on the test when I took mine. You put your right arm out of the right window and you kind of move it round in like a figure zero. So imagine you've got your arm out of the window and you're drawing a figure zero on an imaginary board. So Mike said, yes, I do. And then he said, but there's just one problem with that. I said, I'm ahead of you. Nobody else on the road knows what the heck you're doing. Nobody else knows the hand signals. So you've got your hand out the window. You're signalling you're going left. And before you know it, somebody's cut you up because they've no idea what that signal means. Do you know, this is what makes the government eventually, but obviously they're busy with COVID at the moment, do stupid things like make you get recertified every year. Because of people who have absolutely no clue. And like I say, I've only seen two people making hand signals and the other people on the road had no idea what they were doing, which is very, very bad. Makes me wonder what they do teach them on a test these days. let's have a look. You cross a very large bridge, often life on the Puget Sound. Oh, I have heard of the Puget Sound. I'm not at all sure I've seen it. Probably have in programmes or something and not known. Oh, Anthony, you're so right. 25 pence to replace it, but 250 in labour. 2,500 in labour to get to a fuse box. That's the problem. And I think, you know, if something's well designed, it wouldn't be designed like that. Now, you've seen what Apple have done to the MacBook Pros and the iMacs in terms of access for things, and you want to buy an Apple car, are you aware that once you're inside it, there's no doors to get out? In fact, there's no doors to let you in. It's just an ornament. It sits on the drive. It's just an ornament. If you buy the cheap one, you've got to buy the car with somebody already sat in it to drive it, because that's what they do with the iMacs. You've got to buy it with the RAM already in it. So you have to buy it with a little driver in it. It'll happen, I'm telling you. It will happen. Oh, Abby's one of my favourite characters. She's just fantastic. Mum loved her and I started following her on Twitter, the actress, Paulie, and she's amazing. She's just so wonderful to follow. Oh, you're back. Is that a football?
That's the football.
Oh, Lola.
It was Mayor's football.
Oh, what have you done? Oh no. I'll have to get a picture of that for the end of the week. Oh no. There's nothing left. You couldn't even say that was a football, but for the shape of it. Is she now having another treat?
She hasn't had a treat.
Oh no, she hasn't actually, has she?
No.
Just thinking about that. See, Anthony knows. I'd be all right if Anthony was on the road. It's every other idiot that's on the road that's the problem.
Do you not want it?
Oh, the Tesla dealership's right by where you get your appliances. Tesla car lost energy in the entryway and five guys couldn't move it. I was thinking I won't be getting electric soon. That is it anti-clockwise? Yes, I think it is, Alex. Yeah. No, I'm nitpicking. That is what worries me with these cars, though. I mean, not just Apple. There's other cars. I've talked to the mechanic about it. I took my car in and it had this weird fault where the bonnet wouldn't latch shut. The bonnet has a two-stage locking mechanism on it. You push it down and that kind of half catches it. But then you need to push further and that actually locks it. And it wouldn't. I could push as hard as I like. It was as if it just, that the spring, something not right, it wouldn't catch. So I'm driving along the motorway. Luckily, the bonnet on my car, which is the hood, isn't it, in the States? The bonnet on my car must weigh about 9 stone on its own. So it was unlikely to fly up. But I purposely wouldn't go more than 50 miles an hour in case it did. So gets to the garage with it, explains the issue, and we've got a sucking of air through the teeth. I said, what? You know, it's just the bonnet thing. Ah, well, they don't sell the mechanism. What I'll try and do, and then you get chapter and verse from our mechanic, don't you? In great detail. He said, I think the only thing I can do is actually dismantle the entire mechanism. So we're talking going back from the bonnet all the way through to the release on the inside of the car and like clean it or, you know, renovate it in some kind of way. Well, off he headed. I said, you know, whatever, because it's not something that I could say like the window, wind it up and leave it. It'll be fine. You can't do that with a bonnet. So he did all, strutted all his stuff, and he managed to find a spring from another car. So once he'd cleaned it all up, he then got this spring from another car and managed to put that in and fix it. But again, it's like, why overcomplicate it? Hello, can you give me your paw? Good girl. Oh, it's a dentist stick. She's a happy dog now. Happy, happy dog. I just wish they thought about design in terms of longevity, and they don't. Or even safety, and they don't. I mean, if a window can get locked open or locked closed, that's dangerous. If a door can get to the point where you literally can't open it. Or a seatbelt. I mean, in this case, I was saying about your seatbelt and how much it would have cost to have it replaced, which was ludicrous. There should be some kind of safety mechanism. There used to be a thing that you could buy. I think it was actually like an ice scraper. And this ice scraper had in it a slit. So it had like a plastic handle that was probably about 3.5 inches wide. And in the handle part of it, it had a slit in it. And there was a blade in it, like you would find in a razor. And that was there for you to cut the seatbelt in an emergency. You're like, shouldn't there be a get out of jail free card on the seatbelt? And, you know, and I would carry this ice scraper all year round on the basis that it had this get out of jail free card with the seatbelt in case you couldn't get out. It's terrifying. We sit there and we strap ourselves in and we don't ever think like, oh, you know, it might do like the NCIS car and lock you in. But Mike's does constantly. So we've got 3 different lengths of extension in there, depending on what mood it's in.
I've just seen a notification on the home screen.
You might want to talk to the microphone instead of me, Mike.
It is to you. Oh, well, right. I've just seen a notification on the home screen because my phone was locked from Tracy.
Yeah.
Says she can't get into my room. Do anyone any ideas?
Oh.
Now, I didn't make a mental note of which channel it's in and now I can't find it.
Tech chat. I've got a notification. Why would she not be able to get in?
I don't know.
Because it's just a web page. You might have to refresh, but that's about it.
Well, I don't see it in tech chat.
Maybe she deleted it. Oh, Kim's got one of those as well. On the end of the window. Have you noticed how much stuff we take out with us? It would be so much easier if we could have a hoverboard or something. Cars are a nightmare, and an expensive nightmare at that. But there you go. Can you imagine the price of the Apple one? And if you want the little hammer with the Apple logo on, oh, you're going to need to grow kidneys. This is what will happen. Ah, Tracy finally got in. There was a capture about 3 screens down. We don't put a capture on. So where's that come from, Mike?
A capture? I've no idea.
We do not have a capture at all, anywhere. Not even on the sign-up.
What were you on, Tracy? MacBice.fm?
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's very, very weird.
Nobody else has seen
it. All you ever need to do is go to MacBice.fm and refresh. We've still got problems with the other server, but, you know, we're just ignoring that at the moment. Despite the little Billy Doo that said it's all fixed. Yeah, they lied. It's not.
Oh, she did go to MacBice FM. How strange.
That is bizarre.
I've never seen a capture. We haven't got a capture.
It's as simple as that. Can you imagine how much the Apple wheels will cost?
Tracy, did you delete the message that you put in Slack? Because I'm trying to find it and it's not there.
Tracy's gaslighting you.
She is.
Well, Kim, based on the wheels for the Mac Pro, I dread to think. More than I paid for my car would be my best guess for one wheel.
The bus go round and round.
I've no idea what's going on there, Tracy. We do not have a capture anywhere. Mind you, we were gaslit the other day, weren't we? We came to March and we put all of the lives on the calendar for March, except the Mad March, which I haven't done yet. And I looked at them and I thought, there's three missing. There was the 1st, the 29th and the 21st. And there was nothing there. Now, Mike did these, so obviously my first thought was, tear him a new one. But he assured me they were there. And when you looked at the source data, they were there and they'd just vanished. Just three of them toddled off for a holiday somewhere together. And they never came back, so I had to recreate them. So if the numbers are out, that would be me recreating them. Just things happen that aren't appreciated. Let's put it like that. No idea what went on there. But no, we have no capture anywhere. You see, we got a notification, Tracy, and Mike's trying to read it. He couldn't find it. And then by that stage, the notification had gone. So it picks up my phone and the notification's there. But that doesn't take you anywhere because it's gone. Oh, great, great, great fun. We've been talking about cars, Tracy, and how the Apple one is not going to be good. I can't see that arriving in the next 5 years. I can't. I mean, they've been quite slow with what they have released. Like those tag things, the AirTags, and new Apple TVs that have got extra features or whatever. They've just been quite slow. On the one hand, I look back to iPad 1, which was 11 years ago, and I look at what we've got now, and there's a huge difference. But is there 11 years worth of difference? You know, the interface is a smidgen more customizable, but not much. You still can't have multiple accounts. Really? 11 years. And yet, you know, I pick up my Amazon Fire device, have multiple accounts on it, it's absolutely fine. It's like a deliberate limitation on it. And I know they've always said they're personal devices, but they need to understand that, you know, mummy, daddy and 2.4 children can't all afford one each. It's as simple as that. And it would be far easier to have separate accounts. And it can be done. It's not a technical limitation because it's done in education. If they added something like that, that would be like a meaningful update. But tinkering around and saying, oh, look, you can have icons that are twice the size now. In a way, it's come on a lot and in a way, it's not. They're not renowned for shifting that quickly, Apple. I mean, the last iPad, the one that Jonathan and I were convinced we were going to buy and then we saw it and then we didn't. I'd got one in November 2018. Yours was June 2017, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, but there's nothing wrong with them. They're fine. So last year, neither of us bought one. If there's one next month, I'm probably about due an iPad. Because if I don't, I'm going to end up with all my iPads, none of which have got AppleCare on them. So if I have a problem, you know, with like my newest iPad, it's 3 years old and I'm not going to be able to have it fixed. There are places that will fix it. Great. But, you know, COVID. So I would probably buy an iPad. But last year's iPad was exactly the same as the 2018 one with the addition of a LiDAR camera. Wow. You know, I really wasn't impressed with that. I wasn't impressed with when they released it either. In the middle of, I think it was about 2 weeks in. What do you need most in a COVID lockdown? New iPad. And I just thought that was a bit off, but that's just me. Right, let's have a look at what you got there. You might only be able to drive it on the M1. Nicely done, Anthony. Taxi and delivery cars first. Isn't that what Elon Musk said? Mind you, he took a hammer to his, didn't he? And it broke, which the rest of us were rather relieved about. But, you know, him less so, because he said it wouldn't break and it did twice. Let's have a look at this. What's Tracy seeing? Our system thanks you. No, that's nothing to do with us.
I've never seen that before.
Never seen that ever. It doesn't even... Well, it does. That does not come from our theme, does it?
No.
There's no way that's us. Is it your provider? You're on Wi-Fi, aren't you?
It could be, couldn't it?
That never seen anything like that. Is that logo part of some system, some ISP or something? Because it's not ours.
It's
nothing
not the
to do with us.
Logo, is it?
No, that's not the SiteGround logo.
No,
it's green. So no, I mean it's talking about cookies to be enabled. We don't require cookies, as far as I know, either. That is strange. And you haven't changed a thing since yesterday.
Nor have we.
No, because we didn't go back to our primary player because, you know, it's still not working. It worked for a day and then it stopped working again. So we're on plan B. But
I'm
no,
going to give them a rocket again.
I'll give them another one, Mike. Right now. Right. Tell you what, I'll go in on my phone and see what I get. Are you in? What browser are you in? Is that Safari? I don't use Safari. So let me have a look. Is that Safari? Wouldn't even know what Safari looked like. That looks like Safari. Okay, let me try going in from there. Oh, that's clever. Do you know, I do like it when it does something clever that I wasn't expecting. At the bottom, it says, can't say the actual name because it'll set everybody's off, but SIRI, suggestions. And it says, from the calendar, do you want to go to MacBytes FM? And it's taken me straight there and I can tap play and the chat's underneath. No, you've got a slummox there, Tracy. Never seen it before. And hopefully we'll never see it again. Just taking me straight in. Is that done you?
Yeah.
I mean, you might have an issue with another browser, but unlikely, to be honest. Let's try MacBytes FM on Firefox and see if we're okay. Of course, that'd help if I put an S on MacBytes, wouldn't it? I need my different glasses. I need to admit I need different glasses. Oh, where are they? Crying out loud. Are these the ones? I've had to colour code my glasses. So I know which ones are for what. Right, that's not going to work unless I do put an S on it. So come on. Let me in to do that. There we go. No, it's working on Firefox as well. Which is unusual because not much works on Firefox. Don't know, Tracy, but I'm glad it's sorted now. Right, let's get rid of that. How have I got all these tabs open? Oh, I'll check those later. Right, now swap the glasses back or I won't be able to read the chat. There we go. Now I can see it. Came up on iCab 2. No, it's nothing of ours. That's all I can tell you. If I see anything like that, I will keep an eye out. But no, that looks like an ISP thing. And we don't require cookies, we don't require anything. So, no, you can say no to that. I do not know what's going on there. And we've got no ads on it either. Nor are there tracking pixels. So that you should not see anything like that because there's nothing like that on it at all. Very, very strange. Right, so what are we doing for the rest of the week? Who's got things planned? I think Kim needs to print out a certificate and put that over a desk. Ours is 2 weeks away. Do you think we'll make it? Oh, I think we probably will this time. Oh, there was a horrible story yesterday that I forgot to mention. Just told Mike about it. And you think, it's not that long ago we were all thinking about Christmas. And this family had decided they weren't getting together for Christmas. That it was too much of a risk. But one of the family has learning difficulties. I think probably about maybe somewhere between 10 to 14 years old looked like they had Down syndrome. And because they'd been upset at not seeing the family took the decision they would meet up at Christmas. But to make it safe, they do the 2-week thing before Christmas and then just meet up for a few hours on Christmas Day. So there was this, I don't know who this child with learning difficulties belonged to, but involved in this, there were three generations. And they met up on Christmas Day. They kept as much of a distance as you can, all being in one place. They'd all done their, we're not going out for 2 weeks. And then they departed. And then it was after Christmas. And I think it was the first week in January. Basically, all of them, all 11 of them, got COVID. And nobody knows where from. One of them, the middle generation, ends up in hospital with it. So they get carted off in an ambulance. And 2 days later, die. Then, a couple of days after that, the elderly mother of that person gets taken to hospital. She's in there, I think it was over 2 weeks. And then she dies. And that leaves the other nine. And they're like bereft. And I thought, well, you know, when we said it really wasn't a good idea to meet up at Christmas. Well, it really wasn't. That was the only place they'd been in the 2 weeks before and the week after. Just that one meetup on Christmas Day. And all 11 of them got COVID and two are dead. That's just horrific. And it being a mother and daughter. And I think the daughter had children of her own. I mean, that's life-changing for the entire rest of the family, isn't it? It's awful. And when I think, just to meet up on Christmas Day, I mean, you could do the Zoom thing. I know it's not the same as hugs, but then the whole point is that when we do finally deal with all of this, that nobody's missing. And in their family, there's two missing now. It wasn't worth it. Well, however good Christmas Day was, it wasn't worth the rest of your life for 2 or 3 hours. I can't even imagine. I really can't imagine. Words fail me. And that's just one family. When you think of the number who have died here after Christmas, you know, how many did catch it on Christmas Day? And I know Boris said we could have 5 days, but, you know, nobody thought that was a good idea when he said we could. And then when he backtracked on it, that was even worse. So like Kath and her family had got this, and honestly, it was like a military campaign. And it really was, you know, because James is in the Air Force. Lisa's a teacher and somebody in her school had it. So she had to go isolate for 2 weeks. Anyway, it was all planned. Everybody was isolating. And across this, I think they were doing it over 2 days instead of five to start with. It was A would go to B and then that would take the other person up there. And I think they were travelling probably about 400 miles. And then just out of the blue, he said, right, we're not doing that anymore. And I remember Kath's reaction. Do you remember when I said to you, does Kath know yet? Because she's on Facebook with like meeting up with family and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I said, I don't think she's seen the press conference. And Mike said, well, you could tell her. And I said, no, I'm going to leave that to somebody else because she's going to be really bereft. And she was. But despite the fact it was all arranged, it couldn't have been squeezed into one day because Kaz lives with them, so that's fine. That leaves Lisa, James and their two children. But they wouldn't have wanted to see one set of grandparents without seeing the other. And that couldn't be done in a day. Not unless you had like 2 minutes flat with each person because they just live too far apart. And I just think, you know, in a way, I know how upset she was, but that could have saved their lives because they'd done the 2 week thing, but so had this other family. They'd done everything right and it still happened. I mean, you do wonder how. But it happened, so there you go. So not even meeting up for 5 minutes is a good idea. Not until you've had all your vaccines and stuff. Oh, and if I see one more person on the news getting a vaccine. I lost it before, didn't I, Mike?
You did. Lola, what are you doing?
She's licking a foot, aren't you?
Okay.
They keep showing us in the UK. Let me know if this is happening anywhere else. They keep showing you, like, people getting vaccinated. Everything from, like, they walk through the door and they sit in the chair and then they all do the chair moving and then everybody cleans the chair. And then they get to the bit where they actually go in. And I've got this phobia, call it what you like. I can't be doing with something medical that should be private all over the TV. It does my head in. This is why I've never watched Call the Midwife. Oh, I can do without that on TV. Trust me, I can. But they're showing you them going in. And the next thing, and that this is the point where I'm gone. I'm like, that's going to have to go. I'm going to have to turn it off. Is when they're actually not actually giving the injection, but when the person who's receiving it starts stripping off. Now, it's in the arm, for crying out loud. Roll your sleeve up. Oh, no, no. I've not seen any woman do that. I don't know why they've not got long sleeves on. But every single one of them has like stretched the neck of whatever they're wearing and pulled it down to their elbow. It is not a good look. And this one today, I just took one look and I said to Mike, I can't watch it. It to me, it's like, are they actually asking them to do that rather than roll the sleeve up? Because as I've told you before, I don't do touchy-touchy with doctors, full stop. So the last time a doctor came anywhere near me was to hear my chest. It was my doctor. I've known the woman 40-odd years. And she said, need to listen to your chest. And I had this jumper on. And this jumper was like up to my nose. Long sleeves. Absolutely skin tight sleeves. It was not going anywhere, this jumper. So I kind of pulled the neck, which is like a polo neck. Like I say, it would have gone up to my nose, forward a bit. And I said, just drop it down there. And she said, but I need to like put my finger on it, you know, to make sure it's against the skin. I said, I'll do that bit. That was how we did it. So to watch all these people go in there with TV cameras there and pull their clothes off. I mean, this woman looked like she was breastfeeding. And I'm looking, thinking, oh, pass me a bucket. I can't deal with it. I cannot deal with it. Mike's killing himself laughing at me, but I can't be dealing with it. It's not a good look. And who thinks it's a good look? It's private. Shut the curtain. Oh, we'll be having Let's All Go to the Toilet publicly next. I really can't be doing with it. Oh. And there are protests, Renee says, and there are protests because people can't go to the pub. It makes me mad. I must admit, I said to Mike, it's not exactly like prohibition, is it? If you want a drink, ask Tesco to deliver one. It's not like you literally can't get a drink until the pubs are open. But I agree with you. If I've heard one person, usually a Catanian, say like, oh, I can't wait till we can get in the pubs again. I want to go to the pub. It's a pub. They serve drink, buy a tin, problem solved. They just seem absolutely obsessed. There are people who've protested about it, but they tend to be in London. It's too cold to protest in the north of England in February. So we've not had much with that. Anthony had to take his arm out of his jumper, but he had a short sleeve shirt on, so lifted the sleeve. You see, that's not too bad, is it? I could cope with that, Anthony. It's these women getting bits of themselves out that should not be ever, ever be on view. In front of TV cameras, I'm quite happy to do it. And I'm thinking, you know, not to judge, but really, I don't need to see that. I don't need to see it. So the person who was giving Kim the vaccine offered to go to the ladies' room to get the shot. I like privacy. I do. And I remember ages ago, in a hospital, like I mentioned when I was like 3 and a half, dignity involved. But I think it's important. And I remember saying that to my mum, and I was probably about 4 when I did. Obviously I didn't use words like it's your dignity that's important. However I worded it, she totally understood. And I put together, when I was at Oxford doing the medical malpractice bit of my postgrad, I drew up like guidelines that I felt I think actually it came out later as part of the patient's charter. But I put these guidelines together, and it was basically like the dignity of the patient. And it came as a blinding revelation to 99.9% of the medical staff. And I thought, is there something wrong with you people? Because tomorrow it could be them. They could be the patient. And would they want their naked whatever on view for everybody? Probably not. And that's the point I was making with the Duke of Edinburgh. His privacy was very important, wasn't it? His dignity, because he's the Duke of Edinburgh. But if that had been my granddad, he'd have been dragged out in his pyjama bottoms, probably, and no one would have cared. So hence these guidelines that I drew up. And one thing was curtains. So around a bed or around somewhere in the ED, Which I think is your ER, isn't it? Emergency room. We have emergency departments, or A&E, accident and emergency. That they're not just pulled back to see who's in there. So just medical staff would meander around. This was probably about 20 years ago. They'd just meander around, and instead of using like the board for who's in there or a computer system, they'd just whip the curtain back and have a look who's in there, exposing whoever was in there to anybody who just happened to be walking past. Before that, so probably about 30 years ago, I was actually in hospital, and they had a toilet on the ward, and there was no lock on it because they needed to get in. But the thing was, when you were in there, they would just walk in, and the door to get everybody in, so like in a wheelchair or whatever, the door didn't open inwards or outwards. It was a sliding door. So they slid the door back. They didn't like open it a bit so they could see. They slid the door back, and given where this was, it was on the corridor on the way in. Just people who were visiting people were staring in at whoever was on the toilet. With experiences like that, do you wonder I'm a bit on the strange side?
Strange.
Oh,
is Mummy strange?
Mummy is not strange. I'm thinking that Anthony and Kim got off lightly with all of this. Unless these women particularly want to expose themselves, I don't know. But it's not good. You see, Anthony got a little cubicle, so it's private. They've got to have asked, haven't they, the TV, if they mind appearing. But you would expect it to be a bit, I mean, technically speaking, it's an injection. I know they have to put like alcohol on the spot, but you could actually inject through the clothes, to be honest. So why half of them are stripped to the waist, I don't know. And it's not a good look. And it's not a good look anyway, but it's certainly not a good look on lunchtime news. So I'm avoiding that. A little cubicle would be fine, but I'm going to need Mike with me, and probably the dog riding shotgun as well. Yes, it's Kim's anniversary today, Tracy. So Anthony always checks the curtains when you're in hospital and asks if they can shut the curtains. Now, that's me. But I put in this thing that I wrote at university that needed to be like drilled into the medical staff, that's the norm. Not just whipping it open and letting everybody have a look, which actually happened to my aunt. She was giving birth to my cousin, and she was in some kind of side ward with her legs in the stirrupy things, and somebody left the door wide open. And the side ward she was in was, again, on the little corridor. If you're in the UK, you know what I mean. A ward used to have... A hospital would have like a main backbone, and the wards would come off that, and there would be a little internal corridor from the main thoroughfare into the ward, and off that main, that little corridor, there would be like the sluice room and the kitchen and the staff room and other bits, and there would be toilets and there would be side wards. And she was actually giving birth at this point in these stirrups, left the door wide open. It was visiting time, and all the visitors meandered past and had a good look. I mean, on what planet? On what planet? Patient dignity? Are you kidding me? I couldn't believe that. And it took her a long, long time to get over that. I'm not surprised. She couldn't move. She had her legs strapped in stirrups for crying out loud. That's like some kind of weird mental torture. It is. It's crazy. So I am hyper vigilant with that. But what they ended up doing, I don't know if they do this where you are, Anthony, but in our hospitals and the Withenshaw Manchester University Trust, I think it is, each curtain has a sign on it, and it's a message to the medical staff. And it says, I think it's got a heading of it, of patient dignity. And underneath it says, do not pull this curtain back without asking first. And that was what I suggested about 30 years ago. And now they finally have the little signs on it. I just think treat other people as you would like to be treated. That's it. It's really simple. But it wasn't happening years ago, I can assure you. So I'm with Anthony. Shut the thing. See, Renee's done the inject yourself through your clothes thing. No problem at all. Kim was ahead of herself with short sleeves.
She nudges me.
She just wants fussing. Just sit on the floor and fuss her, Daddy. You know you're going for an injection, you dress accordingly. Exactly. But the thing was with this, Alex, this woman had pulled... She'd got like a black woolen top on. And instead of rolling the sleeve up, she'd gone to the neck and pulled it all the way down to her elbow. So you could see from her neck down to almost where you would not want to be seeing. And all the way down, so her entire shoulder was bare, right down to her elbow. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, where's her bra? And I thought, don't go there. She clearly hadn't got one on. I'm thinking, that's not being prepared. That's being silly. And then just beyond me. That must have been about the fifth one today. So I said to Mike, I'm turning the news off because if I see one more person get an injection in full public view with things hanging out that shouldn't be hanging out, I'll go mad. Oh, just look at her. She's now upside down, Mike. Look at that little face with her little kangaroo feet. Are you going to sleep? Yes, she's gone to sleep. That was fast, wasn't it? Oh, you know our girl. The thing was in I've got a bigger one, Kim, which I'll ping you. That one was just the size that goes in the mail. I've got a bigger one. I should put that up and then we can do that, can't we? Where did that go? I put it on the desktop. Naughty, naughty me. I put things on the desktop. Right, there it is. Right, that's one. That's the other. Let me get you the big one, which is slide sized. Guess why it's slide sized? Might make an appearance that on Friday. Right, let's put Kim's certificate up in the cloud app. Up we go. Off you topple. Let's just face it, any guy in the exam is not comfortable for anyone. That is so true, Kim. Not that I would know. Never partaken. Don't go there. I've seen enough. Let's put it like that. I have no desire to get any closer than having seen it on the TV once. No, I ignore that. Oh, Renee, that's just so bad. Took her legs and drew her close. He needed a closer look. Oh, no. People like that need the same doing to them. The same doing to them. My mum decided she wasn't having any of that either, and she was going to give birth at home. Well, you know my mother's blood pressure. Wasn't it 200 and something over 180? But the thing was, as she rightly pointed out, she always had high blood pressure. That was normal for her. And if she had it, if she had to go into hospital, it would have probably tripled that. How on earth am I spelling this? Right, just so we know what this is. Okay. There we go. This is Kim's big certificate. That's the big one, the 1280 by 721. Some of them need... Well, actually, it's interesting you say that, Renee. Good job you weren't there. My doctor is Indian and she's a specialist. This is my GP. What's that? Primary physician, I think. She is a specialist in obs and gynae. And when she started the business, the practice, she was inundated with Indian clients because the husbands don't want them to go to a bloke. And she's a lady. So she was overrun with that. And they went in with the woman and never let the woman out of their sight. And I think that's a really good idea. We weren't allowed to do that. They passed a law over here. I think it was about 25 years ago, which meant that you legally had the right to have somebody with you. But until that point, they could actually insist that your partner or whoever left the room. And that included the parent of a child. Now, when you think of, you know, what we now know about things that have happened that shouldn't have happened, that's ridiculous. I was 21 and I said, I'm not having my mother leave the room. Oh, no, she's leaving. She's leaving. I said, if she's leaving, I'm leaving. And they started arguing. And I remember saying to Mom, just like ever ready with Kim and all the stuff we have in our cars. I said, remind me when I get out of here to buy a pair of handcuffs. And Mum said, what for? She said, you don't want to handcuff yourself to their bed or anything. I said, no, I'm handcuffing myself to you. And that way they can't separate us. Because when you're in pain, you are not in a position to make a sound decision about something. You don't take everything in. Why is it such a problem to have somebody with you? I mean, if they have a problem with that, there's something wrong with them. Luckily, things have improved, but obviously my experience is all around that time. And it's like, yeah, don't go there. Don't go in. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone. It's such an awful experience like that. I mean, I would say my aunt didn't quite bond with my cousin for a long time. Because, you know, you're looking at the baby and all you're thinking of is how horrific it was for you, what an experience it was. And that can stay with you forever. And again, like I'm saying, is it too much to ask you to close a door? It's as if maybe when medical people start to get trained, they have some kind of humanity and that they have to leave that behind to be able to treat the patient. But I personally think you can still retain a degree of empathy to understand that it will be better all round, including for treatment, if people are calm. And if something's winding them up or something is the way it shouldn't be, they're not calm. It's part of it, to be honest. Oh, I'm glad you like the certificate. Well done, Kim. I must do one for Renee. I will sort that out. 24th it was, wasn't it? We shall head off. I've got to do something with this toy that she adores that defies description, but I will take a photograph of it for the weekend. Honestly, Lola, sometimes there's no words. And there she is, look at her, lying there like butter wouldn't melt. I'm an angel, Mummy. It wasn't me that did that to the ball, it was Daddy.
Daddy did throw it on the garage roof, but then it rolled down.
Oh yeah, rolled down, because it's like a ball, isn't it? Just wait till you see this on Friday.
Well, it did come down.
You'll be amazed. Anthony says, I think medical training has changed away from the do as doctor says and don't ask any questions to a partnership. I certainly hope so. Oh, Kiva killed her pig yesterday. It's in the trash. We still have Lola's pig. But it
no,
started.
We have the rope.
It started life as a pig, but we don't have the head anymore. We have the rope.
Even that's fraying.
No. We'll sort it all out. We did buy a whole box of toys, so she's not missing out.
Yeah, but
she
likes that one.
I know she likes that one. She'll have to learn to like all of the others. But for the moment, I'm going to say goodnight from me.
And goodnight from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.